Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of my second week teaching on Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. That's the title of a new book that I have out. And this book is a summary of 16 of my books. Each chapter, there's 16 chapters, each chapter just briefly summarizes one of those books. And I tell you, this is really good. If you paid attention last fall, I was teaching on discipleship versus evangelism. And I said that God called us to make disciples, not to make converts. And the only way you can disciple a person is to teach them, to mentor them. And I really emphasize that. This would be a tremendous way to disciple people because it takes 16 of what I consider to be the main things that God has shown me, and it gives a brief overview of those 16 things. And we have a study guide that goes along with this that it would fit perfectly if you were to take our DVDs of these television programs and you play the DVD, and then in our study guide you can print out the questions. You could pass out these questions to every person in the discipleship group, and then there's scriptures that you look up and you just discuss it. And I tell you, the scriptures answers these questions, and it's a tremendous way to just get these truths down on the inside. But there's not the depth in this that there is in each one of the individual books. So this would be like an overview. You could say, we're going to cover these 16 areas, and then let's go back and now start in depth on each one. And this would keep you busy for probably the next 10 years. Amen. If you were to study this and then go study each one of the books and take the study guides that go with them. And it's a track for you to run on, not only for your own personal growth, but to be able to help other people. So I'm really excited about this, and I encourage you to please get those materials. Now, on our program yesterday, I talked about living in the balance of grace and faith, that grace is what God does. Faith is our positive response to what God does. It's not something we do to gain a positive response, but it is our response to God's grace. Faith only appropriates what God has already provided. Boy, I tell you, that is one powerful truth. In a way, I hate to teach these things this quickly because I'm saying important things here that just go right over the head of most people. They just don't have any way to grab hold of it because it's so contrary to what most people are thinking. But that is a powerful truth. What I want to talk about today is to talk about the believer's authority. And actually, this is a follow-up or an application of that truth I made about grace is what God does, faith is what we do. And let's turn over to Mark chapter 11 and verse 23, and let me just show this to you or illustrate it to you out of this passage of Scripture. For time's sake, I'm just going to summarize this, but in Mark chapter 11 is where Jesus was going into Jerusalem. He got hungry. He went to a fig tree hoping to get some figs off of it, and there weren't any figs on it because it wasn't time for the figs yet. But the tree had leaves. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with this, that when a fig tree, and there are different types of fig tree, but I literally had this verified by the people in Israel, the type of fig tree that grows in Israel produces leaves at the same time it produces figs. It wasn't time for figs yet, but it wasn't time for leaves. This tree had leaves. Therefore, if it had leaves, it should have had figs. But when Jesus got there, there were no figs on this tree. And so he cursed this fig tree. And he said this in Mark chapter 11, verse 14. He answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Some people question why Jesus would curse a fig tree if it wasn't time for figs yet. Well, it wasn't time for leaves either. In other words, Jesus is the one that created all things. It says in John chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, all things were created by him. And so Jesus was the creator. He's the one that put down this rule that these fig trees produce figs at the same time they produce leaves. So he's the creator. This fig tree was a pervert, if you want to use that word. this fig tree was disobedient to the word that he had given it. And so when he saw that it wasn't operating according to the way that he created it to be, as creator, he had every right and every justification to judge that fig tree. And he just spoke to it and said, "No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever." They went on into the city. This is where he made the second time he drove the money changers out of the temple and whipped them and overturned the tables and drove them out. And you suppose that they came back the same way to where they were staying. In the morning, the next day, about 24 hours later, it said that, let me read this, in verse 20, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." If you read this in Matthew's account, it says that the fig tree died instantly. Here in Mark's account, it says that it was the next day that they saw the fig tree died. But here's the balance between it. It dried up from the roots. That means it died instantly in the roots, but it took a while for that to be manifest in the bush that was above ground. Just like when we cut off a rose or something, you can put that rose in water and it'll still look like it's alive. But the moment it's severed from that plant, it's dead. And it takes a while for that death to work its way up and become visible. Well, this fig tree was dead the instant Jesus spoke to it, but it took about 24 hours for what happened below the surface to manifest itself above the surface. And when the disciples saw it, they were just shocked. It says, "Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away." You know, we don't have the benefit of hearing the inflection of Peter's voice, but I don't think he just said, "Master, the fig tree that you cursed is withered away." I believe he was shocked. It was like, "Jesus, look at that fig tree. The one that you cursed, it's dead." He was absolutely astounded at this. Sometimes we don't get the full impact of Scriptures because we don't put ourselves into it and realize what's happening. But Jesus just spoke to this fig tree. He didn't touch it. He didn't pour salt on it. He didn't take an axe to it. He didn't dig it up. He didn't send somebody else to do something. There was nothing done except he just spoke to this fig tree. And in 24 hours, it was just totally wilted and dead. And the disciples were shocked. We also don't have the benefit of hearing Jesus' inflection of his voice. But I don't believe that he just said, "Have faith in God." I believe it was more like, "Peter, have faith in God. Like, what's wrong with you? You know, you've seen me raise the dead. You've seen me do all of these things. And you're shocked because when I talk to a tree, it dies." And then he begins to explain himself right here. And this is really, really important. He said, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now, there's a lot in this verse. I've actually taught on this for hours at a time. It's important that you understand the power of words. Jesus didn't touch this fig tree. He just spoke to it. And he cursed it and commanded it not to live. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So you have power to curse death. You have power to give life, bless, in your words. But it says you have to believe that those things which you say will come to pass. The reason that this doesn't work for most Christians is because most Christians don't believe the words that they say. They will say things. They will lie. They will misrepresent things. Somebody will ask how you're doing and you say, "Oh man, I'm dying. I'm starving to death." You don't mean it. We say so many words out of our mouth that we have confused our own heart. Our heart doesn't believe all of our words. But Jesus never said any of those things. Jesus never said anything he didn't believe. So when he said something, "No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever," there was zero doubt in his heart. There was no exaggeration. You have to train your heart to believe in the words that you say. And anyway, that is a great teaching in and of itself. I'm not going to teach on that. Here's the point that I'm wanting to bring out and talk about the authority of the believer. when it says that you have to say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Implied in there, it's not stated real clearly, but it's implied if you'll think about this. It's talking about the authority that you have. Because notice, he didn't say, whosoever will ask God to do this to this tree, it'll be done. He didn't say, whoever will talk to God about this mountain, that it will be done. It says, whosoever will say to the mountain, not talk to God about your mountain, but talk to your mountain about God. Implied in that is that you have authority. You don't even have to ask God. You don't have to approach this situation and say, oh God, the doctor told me that I'm going to die and I can do nothing. It's cancer and there's no cure for cancer. And oh God, I'm just so pathetic and I'm so powerless. And oh God, I can do nothing if it isn't for you. That's the way that most Christians approach God. You know, praying a prayer like that, you'll die. You can love God with your whole heart. You can believe it's God's will for you to be well, but you'll die with that kind of a prayer because you aren't taking your authority. God placed His raising from the dead power on the inside of you. I taught from that this week in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is already in you. It's not out there someplace that you can pray down. It's already been placed on the inside of you. You have raising from the dead power. Now, you've got to use it. And instead of approaching God as, oh God, I'm powerless, and God, there's nothing that I can do. You've already disqualified yourself the moment you take that approach. You aren't taking your authority. You are denying what the Word says. You're in unbelief. And you're going to die with that approach. But see, if you would understand that, no, I'm going to speak to this mountain. The only reason that you could speak to a mountain or speak to a tree and see this miraculous outcome is because God has placed His power on the inside of you. You by yourself are not the power source. You just speaking on your own cannot affect these miraculous cures. It is not you that's doing it, but it's Christ in you who's doing it. And He's the one that put that power there, but it's voice activated. You have to speak it. So when it says here that you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, if you stop and think about it, this is implying that you have to take your authority and instead of approaching God about your mountain and saying, oh God, this mountain is so big. Would you please heal me? Would you please move this mountain? Would you please do this? No, you go and you say, Father, I thank you that you have given me your power. Now I speak to this problem. That's what the mountain symbolizes, whatever your problem is. You speak to your problem and you say, problem, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of my life. Pain, I command you to leave my body. Sickness, leave my body. Poverty, you leave my life in the name of Jesus. And you take that authority and you speak it. See, this is showing the authority that you have as a believer. And this goes right along with what I was teaching yesterday, that God has already provided everything. He's already healed you of all sickness and disease. He's already placed this anointing, this power, this authority on the inside of you. But it's not going to get you healed until you take your faith and appropriate what God has already done by grace. And part of that is you have to speak. You have to use the power of your tongue to curse the sickness and the disease and to release the life of God. Man, that's powerful. And again, most people tend to get on one side of this issue or the other, but they don't tend to combine it. You've got to recognize that God gave you His power and He gave you His authority. And if you don't use it, you in a sense stop Him. You tie God's hands from doing anything. A classic example of this is James chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It says, you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I couldn't tell you how many Christians have come and said, you know, I just need the devil to get off my case, and they're praying, oh God, please rebuke the devil. Please make the devil leave. Oh God, please make this sickness leave. And they're pleading and begging with God when God said, you resist the devil. It didn't say pray to God and ask God to resist the devil. The word resist means to actively fight against. God doesn't need to resist the devil. He's already fought the devil and he won, hands down. And now he put this raising from the dead power on the inside of you. He put his authority on the inside of you. And if you have a problem, it's up to you to believe that God by grace has already provided it. He gave you everything that you need to succeed. And now, as a response to God's grace, not in order to get God to do something, but as a response to what you believe God has already done, you need to stand up, take your authority, and you command the devil to leave you. You resist him. You fight against him. And he will flee from you, not from God, but from you. You know, I read a story by Kenneth Hagin in one of his books, and he had this encounter where Jesus was speaking to him and giving him instructions. And in the midst of this vision that he was having, this little demon ran in between them and was jumping up and down and trying to block his view and making noise. And Kenneth Hagin said that he was having trouble hearing what Jesus had to say, and he kept trying to look around this demon. And finally, he wondered why the Lord didn't do something with this. And finally, he got so upset because he felt like he was missing some of the instructions from the Lord that he just got mad and said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave." And boom, this demon was gone. And as soon as this demon left, Jesus looked at him and said, "If you hadn't have done that, I couldn't." Not that he doesn't have the power, but he shared that power with us and then gave us a command. You resist the devil and he will flee from you. And if God tells us to do it, he's not going to violate that instruction. Psalms chapter 89, verse 34 says that my covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone forth out of my lips. God doesn't just say something like resist the devil and he'll flee from you and then change it or violate it. When he says it, it becomes a covenant. And when he says you resist the devil and he will flee from you, God cannot do it. Not because he doesn't have power, but because he's true to his word. He will not violate his word. He won't change. And so therefore, if you don't take your authority and use it, then you aren't going to see the devil flee because Jesus and the devil have already met. There is no contest between them. Now Satan is fighting you, and you're the only one that can turn the devil loose. And brothers and sisters, without you realizing it, you know what? Most of us have turned the devil loose in our life by our passivity. By us just saying, "Oh God, there's nothing that I can do. Would you please heal me? Would you please touch me?" We aren't taking our authority. We don't believe that God has already done it, that we have the same power that raised Christ from the dead. We aren't resisting the devil. We're begging. We're pleading. We're crying, we're complaining, we're murmuring, but we aren't resisting the devil, actively fighting against him. And I tell you, the only way you can do that is to understand that God by grace has already given you everything that you need to be an absolute total overcomer. You don't need to ask God, beg God for anything. He anticipated your problems before you had any. Before you ever got sick, he had already healed you. Before you ever had a financial need, he had already prospered you and commanded it. And everything that you will ever need has already been placed on the inside of you in Christ Jesus. He's already done his part. And he didn't only provide it, but now he gave you authority to enforce it. And anybody, the devil, any situation that's trying to steal from you, you have the authority to use this power of God on the inside of you. It's voice activated. And if you would say to this mountain, "Be removed, be cast into the sea," and don't doubt it in your heart, but believe that the things that you say would come to pass, you would have whatsoever you say. That's nearly too good to be true, but that's the gospel. Man, that's powerful. And it all has to do with you taking your authority. You know, I've told this story in more detail. I'm just about out of time, but here's a short version that I prayed with a woman who had had pain for over 7 years. The doctor said she'd be dead 2 or 3 years before I even met her. And she had been able to survive by taping magnets on her body and then sewing magnets into a blanket and putting this blanket around her. And somehow or another, these magnetic fields diminished the pain. But she was invalid. She was in a terrible situation. I talked to her. I took my authority. I rebuked all of this sickness and pain and commanded it to leave her. And boom, first time in 7, 9 years, whatever it was, she was pain-free. And then I spent about 20 minutes teaching her from Mark 11:23 about saying to your mountain, taking your authority, speaking to this problem. If you ever have another pain, it doesn't mean that you weren't healed. It's just the devil knocking at the door, seeing if you'll open it back up through unbelief and let him in again. I said, if you have a pain, it doesn't mean you weren't healed. The devil knows I believe it. He's trying to see if you believe it. So I said, here's what you do. You take your authority. You speak. So this woman said, okay. She started to leave, put her hand on the doorknob, and she turned around and looked at me and she says, the stinging is back. And she had stinging in her right in her waist, in the back, right where your belt goes around. And she said, the stinging is back. And I said, well, I've been teaching you for 20, 30 minutes here about what to do. So I'm not going to pray. I want you to pray. And this woman prayed a really good prayer compared to being a Presbyterian 45 minutes before that didn't believe in any of these things I talked about. This is nearly word for word what she said. She said, Father, I thank you that it is your will for me to be well, that by your stripes I was healed. And if I was healed, I am healed. I claim my healing. In the name of Jesus, I am healed. You know, that's good things to say, but that's not doing what the Word says. And so I asked her after she prayed, I said, so do you still have the stinging? And she said, yes. Why am I still experiencing this stinging? I said, you didn't do what the Word said. And she says, what do you mean? And I said, you didn't speak to the pain or to the stinging. You spoke to God and you confessed these wonderful things. You said nice things, but you did not take your authority and command that stinging to leave your body. And this woman says, you mean I'm supposed to literally say stinging in the name of Jesus? And I said, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. She said, I'll do it. So we joined hands again, and she got mad. She said, stinging in the name of Jesus. And that's as far as she got. And she said, it's gone. And I said, I knew it would be. And you know, that's been now, I don't know, 10 years. And she's never had that problem come back. This is how you do it. And yet there are many of you watching this program that you believe God exists. You believe He can do anything and you plead and beg with Him to do it. But you haven't believed He's already done it by grace. And you aren't taking your authority and appropriating what is already yours. Instead, you are coming to God as a beggar, pleading with God to do what He told you to do. You resist the devil and he will flee from you. There are people all around the world right now that you just got a word from God that would change your circumstance if you would operate in what I'm talking about. So I encourage you to go do it right now. You know, if you need anybody to help you, we've got people on our phones that they'll not only give you these materials that our announcer will be explaining to you, but they would also pray with you. They know how to take their authority. They could speak and they could help you. So please take advantage of these materials, but also please call and let somebody pray a prayer of agreement, maybe instruct you in how to take your authority and use it, and praise God, you're going to see the devil flee from you.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's newest book, titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, is available for a gift of any amount. This book is unlike any other Andrew has ever written. Rather than one topic, it contains 16 of Andrew's most powerful teachings. Each is condensed into a single chapter, making this the most comprehensive collection of life-changing messages we've ever offered. Contact us today to get your copy. Or, if you prefer, you can order Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword on DVD as seen on TV. This series has over 7 hours of life-changing teaching. The entire DVD series is available for a gift of any amount. There's also a new Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword workbook available for a gift of $35 or more. The workbook works well in conjunction with the DVD series, offering the opportunity for deeper study of the biblical principles Andrew presents in his teaching. Or you can get all three of these products by ordering the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package. This package includes the brand new book, the As Seen on TV DVD series, and the workbook. The entire package has a catalog value of $79. But today, you can get the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package for a gift of just $69 or more. A single DVD containing the second week's broadcast of this series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second DVD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Little Rock, Arkansas this week for the 2011 Church Conference at Agape Church, Saturday, April 9th, and in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 14th through the 16th. He'll also be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th, in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 5th through the 7th, at the Solid Rock Church of Atlanta, Sunday, May 8th, and in the U.K. for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 27th through the 30th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
While flipping TV channels in their home in Kathmandu, Nepal, Bob and Dawa Wesley stumbled across the Gospel Truth broadcast with Andrew Womack, and their lives were changed forever.
When I found out that how much God loved me and what He did for me, I started understanding the gospel, actually.
Desiring to fulfill God's call on their lives, Bob and Dawa moved to Colorado Springs and attended Charis Bible College. Then it was back to Nepal and back to work.
I started walking towards my office and I started seeing these two little boys, and their feet was cracked and, you know, their clothes were really, really dirty. I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, feed them.
With that direction from God, their ministry was born, feeding the destitute boys of Kathmandu, both physically and spiritually.
I've always focused on sharing the gospel with these kids. And it is only the Word of God that changes the lives of the people. It is only the gospel.
Another changed life, changing the world. Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College.